Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 85. Dave, finally a chance, a couple days here, maybe sit back, catch our breath, certainly with the draft coming up and free agency right before us. This is all going to get cranked up again, but it looks like maybe at least over this five-day window, we can sit back and reflect.
Yeah, it's been a quiet, this has probably been the quietest that it's been since the season started these last few days, or at least since we recorded the last podcast on Tuesday and all. So, and what a good podcast that was, too. We had some good discussions in that. For one thing, you finally got to see the Lynn Swann photo.
I finally got to see the Lynn Swann photo, and I know why you were laughing. I guess the term is, I guess it wasn't a self-portrait because he didn't paint it himself, but it was a portrait that he's sitting in front of, and it really does look funny. And I couldn't tell with those pictures of, like, Super Bowl 10 where he's making the catch against the Cowboys and a couple other things that look like they're out of the frame. They look like they were kind of superimposed on top of everything. I didn't really understand how that worked either. So I looked at it for about 10 seconds and said, this is too much for me, and moved along.
I hear you too. And hey, we went back and checked the tape too. We got into a little bit of who said what and who said what percentage on percentage of Mike Wallace leaving in buddy Alan Gifford, longtime follower, longtime contributor to Steelers Depot. Went back and checked the tape. You said 10% and I said 25%. So,
all right, I owe you an apology then. I had you at 50. Maybe I just wanted to be more right, so I'm still more right.
Is that like having it one more louder?
yeah, one more louder.
But, yeah, David, there's, you know, I guess we're, what, 3.5 days away?
Let's just call a little bit for one last time. You know, a lot of the Pittsburgh media got righteous with this Hines Ward stuff, and then they came around to the fact that there's no way the Steelers were going to cut them. They're going to bring them back. You never see guys make mistakes, you never see guys kind of say, "Hey, I got this wrong." It's and in a much more tragic note, yesterday in this shooting they had in Pittsburgh at the psychiatric hospital, you know, people are on air reporting that there's a hostage situation, which never turned out to be the case. And, you know, look, when you're talking about football teams' plans, that pales in comparison. But, you know, I don't know if it's Twitter or the fact that everybody has a chance to discuss things in today's social media world, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of accountability. And one of the things, at least I hope we do, and I hope our listeners appreciate it and point it out to us when we're wrong, is we take stands and we'll admit when we're wrong, I hope.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, you know, like I've said, and I'm still sticking with the fact, I mean, 3.5 days here to go, I still like the chances of them working out a long-term deal, because I find it kind of surprising that they still don't know this salary cap number, although, I mean, they have to know, you know, pretty close. But, I mean, by all reports, they still don't know what this cap number is, which is expected now, I guess, to come in around 120.3, something like that and all. So, getting back to the thing about not being right and with these reports, you know, there's always the rush to be the first to report it. Did you see what WPXI had up the other day? They fell for that dadgum spoof site with Hines Ward. They were on the air in the early morning broadcast saying, going by that spoof site that said Hines Ward is signed with the Ravens, they announced that on the air. You want to talk about embarrassing.
Yeah, right. And that's a better analogy, because it is what we're talking about, sports. And you know, they were quick to mea culpa, but, you know, you just wonder – you know, a lot of these guys on Twitter really get fiery and offensive to people, and then when they're wrong, they're awfully quiet.
Yeah, absolutely. And You know, we'll have in a few more days, we'll have more to know whether or not who's right and who's wrong, you know, on some of this. Because, I mean, let's face it, if he does not get signed and hits free agency, we're going to know real quick. Teams do not build from the bottom up with the cheap players to the expensive players. They're going to go out there and start getting these. If there is a team like the 49ers or the Patriots that are going to make a run at Mike Wallace, we're going to know super, super quick. By the end of that first week, as we said on that last podcast, we're going to know whether or not he signed an offer sheet, whether or not the Steelers are on the clock to match that offer sheet as well. Speaking of the 49ers, Matt Barrows, you know, who we've had on before, has a great blog post up on the Sacramento Bee website, basically breaking down their pending free agents and all like that. So I invite everybody to run over and check that out. You know, that you got to remember, they've got a few things that they've got to tend to as well. And I still think they would be the most likeliest team of the bunch maybe the three to go after Mike Wallace. But you know, when it's all said and done, I mean, even if Mike Wallace does hit free agency, I'm just not seeing him sign an offer sheet.
We've talked about it enough. I agree. I want to say I agree with you 100% on things will move quickly. Peyton Manning will be a huge and big domino in this whole process. He will then lead to Matt Flynn getting done. And wherever Peyton Manning goes, there's obviously a chance that Kevin Cobb could get traded, that Matt Moore could get traded, that other guys will move in the process. So we've heard a lot. Adam Schefter immediately, and let's just talk about this news conference because we haven't had a chance to talk about that. You know, it is easy for Pittsburgh fans to hate guys on other teams, but if you didn't come away feeling heartfelt emotion and impressed with the way Peyton Manning handled that, then I don't think you're looking at it the right way.
Yeah, and I found out Jim Irsay says more than I do on top of it. But, yeah, I mean, and Pete, you know what people are asking on Twitter is how come the Steelers didn't do something like that for Hines Ward, for Aaron Smith, for James Ferrier. And look, I mean, that's just not something the Steelers do. Now, if they were retiring.
Right. Let's be clear. I mean, there were some questions about whether they wanted to do it. And if they're not retiring, they didn't want to make it seem like a retiring press conference.
Exactly. And I think even Aaron Smith, I know there's, you know, the speculation's real heavy that Aaron Smith's going to retire. Well, at that point, I've also heard reports too that he just wants to just kind of duck out and he doesn't want a press conference.
And that's a report from his agent. So that's a pretty solid report
there. Exactly. And with Hines Ward, and I mean, yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, I mean, the Steelers, if they're going to do it for one, then that means they're probably going to have to do it for all. And even though I admit, I mean, 14 years is a long time to play with one team, and Hines Ward, you know, definitely represented the city and the team well, it's just not something that they do for just releasing a player.
There are two sides to this. Let me put it this way. If the player wanted to have the press conference, they could have the press conference. I mean, they had one. Chris Hoke had a retiring press conference. Steelers aren't opposed to doing this. But the other side of that was, you know, there are people all over Twitter going, are you kidding me? Chris Hoke's having a retiring press conference? You know, I said to you when you said you couldn't believe people weren't carrying it live, I was like, this guy started 17 games as a Steeler in 10 years. I mean, he had a lot of service and whatever, but you know, I don't know. Is that a story that's worth carrying? So there are two sides to the whole thing. I think, you know, if Aaron Smith, certainly, you know, with Ferrier and Hines Ward, they're not retiring. Peyton Manning is a unique situation. And I think what they wanted to have happen is there wasn't the acrimony in the press between the Steelers and Ferrier or the Steelers and Hines Ward. There was a lot of speculation that Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning their relationship had become very acrimonious. Peyton was disappointed with the Colts. I think both those guys wanted to get out there and show that exactly what they showed, that there's a lot of respect for each other. Peyton loves the Indianapolis franchise. Irsay respects and admires everything that Peyton did to contribute to that franchise. The Steelers and their players never had that problem. I don't think, you know, look, there's an issue about Hines Ward being benched and all that stuff, but that's kind of minor stuff to the legacy that Peyton was leaving in Indianapolis. And I think that's the reason this, and the whole league wanted to see that stuff. That's going to be carried nationally. And so I think, you know, although there's some similarities, you know, to me, they're kind of apples and oranges.
So where does Peyton, where do you think Peyton goes?
Well, you know, it was funny to hear the, you know, kind of the full court press that Denver's putting on, because I had thrown that out to a friend as kind of a dark horse, and Tennessee's another one that I haven't heard a lot of, I haven't really heard them mentioned. But the obvious candidates really are Arizona. To me, Arizona and Miami are the two obvious candidates, I would think, the front runners. I think, you know, I think the Jets would be highly entertaining, fun as hell, if he's in New York with the big media circus and his brother in the same town. That franchise seems to be awfully dysfunctional at the moment, though, so I kind of don't see that. Some of the same reasons I don't see him going to Seattle. There's no such thing as a small media market in the NFL, but you're getting closer to one in Seattle. Tennessee, having been where he went to school, I like that idea. Denver and Kansas City, you know, I think I've said them. Said seven teams right there. I think it'll be one of those seven. But if I had to bet, I think Arizona's a pretty good bet.
I like Arizona, New York, and Miami. I think Miami's a distinct possibility as well, too. And listen, with the Jets, let's not kid around here with the Jets. Rex Ryan, despite the couple of AFC championship appearances and all like that, this guy's got to prove he can get over the hump here, or at least get back to the hump, in my opinion. Mark Sanchez is not the guy, and there was a funny tweet by one of the Jets beat writers. I forget who it was, because everybody's asking how Mark Sanchez would handle, or if there would be strife or something. I forgot how it was worded, but basically the tweet went along that Rex Ryan would say to Mark Sanchez, "Mark, there's not going to be any controversy here or whatnot," and that put the end to that. But I think the Jets are a unique circumstance. I think they've got the running game. I think they've got the offensive line. I think, you know, depending on what happens with maybe a few of the receivers over there, you know, I possibly that be a good fit right there. I think their defense can hold up their end of the bargain. So I find that as a definite possibility to go along with Arizona and Miami. Here, did you hear LaDainian Tomlinson basically throw Sanchez up underneath the bus?
Well, I mean, I heard him talk about, you know, how dysfunctional the locker room was 6 weeks ago when, you know, when they had McElroy spoke and Tomlinson kind of confirmed everything. I heard him much more throw Santonio under the bus, it appeared, back then. I haven't heard anything more recently.
He basically, I mean, this was just after the Manning release, was basically that they, you know, in so many words, you know, they should go after Manning and
well, I don't know that that's throwing Sanchez under the bus. If you can have, you know, the best quarterback in football, I think there are only about five teams that should say, no, we're not going to do that.
And what about now Darnell Dockett? He definitely threw Kevin Cobb underneath the bus immediately after the press conference. He wants Manning there in Arizona there too. So, and then he backtracks on that and says, well, you know, we can win with whatever quarterback we have, blah, blah, blah. But he not only threw Kevin Cobb up underneath the bus, he backed it up over him, if you heard a couple of those interviews.
Yeah, I did hear that he was a little more aggressive in what he said. So, you know, look, I understand where guys are coming from. I don't have any problem with it. You know, maybe it makes the locker room a little more discordant, but so be it. But it is, you know, I think the interesting takeaway from this is Peyton had that, you know, again, a fantastic press conference. He lands in Miami where he has a condo and he's been working out. The Miami press goes crazy. He says, you know, I haven't thought about this for a minute, which, you know, I don't know that that's completely honest and candid, but he had bigger issues on his mind. But this is now, you know, they're reporting this is going to get done in a week, which is now 6 days. So that means when we're sitting here next Friday, we very well could know what team Peyton Manning's playing for. And I have to tell you, I am an interested spectator. I didn't think it was going to be meaningful to me, or that I would be care much in tracking this, but I am. I do think this is going to have a huge impact on the team that he signs with. And, of course, a ripple effect throughout the league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it, hey, like you said, this is not going to take long to get done, too, as soon as the whistle blows. In fact, I mean, technically, he's a free agent. I assume now the move has been made official. It was speculated that it will be official on Thursday or Friday. So, you know, I assume now he can sign with any team.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the waiver wire actually went through yesterday. It actually went through Wednesday afternoon at 4:40, I think.
Yeah, so now you know that the bidding, well, the bidding has already begun. So this is not going to take long, just like the Mike Wallace situation is not going to take long either there. So yeah, you know, there's a couple other big names out there, but Manning will definitely be the most interesting one once the whistle gets going here, and like you said, that could happen any day now.
And we'll see what happens with, you know, if we're thinking about the AFC North, I don't expect the Bengals or the Ravens to maybe do anything dramatic here in the first couple of days. But it'd be interesting to watch the Browns because they've been linked to Matt Flynn, and they're also obviously linked to the second pick in the draft, which would be RG3. So it'll be interesting to see if Matt Flynn gets a visit to Cleveland and how his situation falls. Because that'll have the biggest direct impact on the Steelers as they look at their AFC North divisional opponents.
I think they've come out and said that they're not expecting to be too active in free agency. Now, of course, that could be a smokescreen, but I mean, they're not expecting to be very active. Now, the Bengals, I tell you one name that I'll be watching with the Bengals here, Michael Bush, the running back.
Yep.
He could be an interesting add for them.
He's
And
in Oakland for those who haven't been following it. Bush has been sharing the load with Darren McFadden and a couple different guys during his time there and got more of the carries with McFadden being injured a lot of the second half of the season.
he, you know, they have the cap money over there, so you know, they definitely, that could be a fit over there, and that would be a name to watch as far as you know, our division goes and all like that. Now,
And the other point on that is obviously they've got a guy, Bernard Scott, who's a kind of change of pace guy who will probably be more involved in the offense coming forward. But it's the kid from Chicago is a free agent as well.
Benson.
And yeah, Cedric Benson. And he, you know, he's probably, you know, obviously they're not going to sign both those guys. It looks like they're going to move away from Benson. And if that's the case, Bush is the guy that Joe Reedy has been talking about pretty aggressively.
Yeah, and do you see that? That's the move I would make. I mean,
Yeah, I don't necessarily see that as a huge upgrade or a downgrade. I mean, you know, Benson was surprisingly productive. I thought when they signed him that it wouldn't be an impact signing, and it was. And he's been a decent back for them. I don't see Michael Bush as a huge upgrade, but yeah, I also see it as a good football move.
Any other big names you're going to keep an eye on?
Well, you know, like we talked about it, we've got those guys out there. I think Vincent Jackson is a guy to watch in the Mike Wallace scenario. You know, obviously, as Steeler fans, we'll all be watching to see who courts these receivers. Vincent Jackson's been linked with Chicago, and that seems like a really natural fit there. And then there are a bunch of, you know, Mario Manningham, obviously, just making the Super Bowl catch raised his profile. They talk about him down in Miami. Miami's got Bernard. They've got Marshall down there. What's his first name?
Brandon.
Brandon Marshall, right? So you know, I'll be watching the receiver guys. Interesting to watch some of these other names. Randy Moss is down in New Orleans, where kind of universally said the workout was surprisingly good. I'll be interested to see what the Saints do with all this stuff coming up. Maybe they try to get out in front here and get some good PR and be one of the first teams to make signings. And then clearly the prize of the free agent class after Peyton Manning now is Mario Williams, and to see if he, you know, where he goes as well, since it looks like he'll be leaving Houston.
Yeah, most definitely. I don't think they're going to be able to hold him. Of course, they didn't tag him. I see him going. I think he best fits in a 3-4 situation as an outside edge rusher, outside linebacker. So you know, it's going to be definitely interesting to see where he goes. You know who the big winner is this week with all this Manning stuff, though, is David, is the New Orleans Saints. You want to talk about pushing the all the bounty stuff right off the front page? Peyton Manning did that.
Clearly, it did. Big article by Peter King yesterday, in this week's Sports Illustrated, which is available online, talking about all this stuff. Look, I don't know how Greg Williams doesn't get suspended for a year, and I'd be surprised maybe if Mickey Lomas, you know, didn't get a similar suspension, because basically these guys lied. I mean, they had this conversation, you know, in years prior with them. It sounds like in 2010, the league went to them and talked about this issue, or 2009, whichever year it was, and basically was denied. And Greg Williams denied it again in New York 2 weeks ago or a week ago, and then they had so much data that he copped to it to Goodell. So I don't know. This is a little bit like the Bruce Pearl in Tennessee situation with me. If you've done it before and you lie to me again, I'm not sure. I'm not sure Greg Williams doesn't deserve a 3-year ban. Make it so he's not going to coach again. Not that I don't think guys deserve second chances, but he has gotten a second and third chance already. And if you're lying to the commissioner, I don't want to take too moral of a stand on the bounty issue, but I think if you're lying to the league about what you're actually doing, then you got a much bigger problem.
We talked about, and you brought this up in the last podcast, should we be morally outraged? And my answer was the fact that I tried to give my answer in the fact that it did not surprise me. I'm not morally outraged about it. We got a comment on the post that the podcast was put up in from Jab So Steel. And let me read this to you, David. It says, Dave, to your point about the inability to draw moral outrage about Bountygate, I'm left somewhat confused by your angle. While I agree that it is an inherent part of the game, I think that you're underselling the fact that the nexus of Williams' indiscretions was actually paying guys for the hits. To covertly, verbally praise the guys individually might be deemed acceptable for their aggressive style, and then in parentheses with a wink and a nod by the league. It's the actual monetary compensation on a hit-by-hit basis that has gotten them into the hot water that they are in. Not to speak of the fact that giving guys $1,500 bonuses for such hits when most are making hundreds of thousands per game seems like pittance and hardly weighty enough to have been worth of the risk of being caught engaging in such a practice.
Well, I would take from that, I think, and some of the Saints have come out and spoken about this, and we hear different things from different people. A lot of guys say they get paid for big plays, to make tackling on a kickoff inside the 20-yard line, interceptions, causing fumbles. And, I think even though that is also illegal. So that's illegal, and that kind of stuff is very different than obviously injuring a player, knocking a player out of the game. So, again, now we're drawing, making judgments on things where we don't have all the facts. And, you and I are happy to do that all the time. We do it all the time. But it's illegal across the board. The moral outrage on the big plays obviously is universally kind of zero, to be honest with you. I don't think if guy gets an extra $1,000 from somebody because he makes an interception, they shouldn't do it. So let's just be on record saying that. But it's tough to get too worked up about it. If you get money for injuring a player, whether they hit clean or not, then I got a problem with it. And I'm not saying that there's anything positive about it or these guys shouldn't be punished. I'm just saying the righteous attitude of the media and how the media glorifies all this stuff all the time, and then to turn and express shock and kind of moral outrage to me just seemed to be a little disingenuous.
I guess what I have a problem most with Jab So Steel's comment, and I don't know where he's coming. He says he's left somewhat confused by your angle, and I don't know if I have an angle on this. I think that I'm saying what I was trying to say was that I just was not surprised with it, and I'm not morally outraged. Do you understand what he's trying to get at with this? By saying left somewhat confused by your angle?
No, maybe I don't know that we're opposed, but we're surprised at the moral outrage. Maybe there's a conflict in that. I don't know. Maybe he can write us back again and expand on it.
Yeah. If you're listening, Jab So Steel, feel free to shoot me an email or comment back on that blog post again, or this blog post, email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you feel like it or comment either way, and we'll be glad to touch on this. I don't think that David and I, either of us have an angle on this. I just think it's just showing that we're not morally outraged on it and not throwing our hands up in the air. Basically, as far as that goes, we also got another email, David, from Chris in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Basically want to thank us for the good analysis and explanation of the Mike Wallace contract situation. Second question was, do we think any of the released Steelers will end up with the Arizona Cardinals? And thirdly, he asked, the Bounty Gate stories remind him of the Oakland Raiders back in the 70s with Jack Tatum and George Atkinson and the crippling hit on, of course, Daryl Stingley. He says he remembers something about them keeping score and getting rewards for how many players they can knock out of a game. There was also a trial where Chuck Noll testified that Tatum was part of the quote-unquote criminal element in the NFL. He says, I agree with you that Goodell will be handing down some harsh punishments. We can't have another player be injured like Daryl Stingley was. Your thoughts?
I agree with a lot of that stuff. I when you go back and you watch highlights from the 70s and the earlier days of football, it is glaring the kind of headshots and hits guys take continually. It was part of the game, and even though all that stuff was deemed legal back then, you can imagine how far over the line guys must have been for Chuck Noll to sit in court and say that guys were part of the criminal element of the game. And so there's been a lot of angst and vocal disagreement among Steeler Nation and among football fans about protecting players, how that impacts the Steelers, how it impacts James Harrison in particular. But I think if you go back and you watch his stuff, you see that I guess what's surprising to me is that the Players Association isn't fully 100% endorsing a lot of this stuff. I think the ambiguity of the rules is the biggest issue for a lot of players out there. But in terms of what he said, I couldn't agree more with that. You know, you look back to the 70s and the things that were going on, and you don't want – look, there's obviously a chance that guys get paralyzed. We've seen it in college football three or four times over the last 10 years. Unfortunately, it hasn't happened in the NFL in a while, but it doesn't take an illegal hit. It needs a guy just landing wrong on his neck or just getting just having a vertebrae issue, which we've seen with some of these guys. So in that respect, all these rules are going in the right way, but I think what they're going to do is have a much longer term impact on the mental health of players, and you're still going to see the occasional catastrophic injury.
And his comment about with the Jack Tatum and George Atkinson thing from many, many moons ago, that's kind of plays into my thoughts of not being morally outraged and not surprised. And basically, I'd said in that last podcast that this stuff happens to some degree, I think, in almost every locker room around the NFL and has for years. So, and also I went back after he sent this and reread there. You can find the archive story from Sports Illustrated back from many moons ago about the whole George Atkinson thing and Chuck Noll trial and all like that. So I invite people to go back and read that. Also, if you're good at Google and know how to use the Google News archive section that goes back to the actual – there are a lot of the old papers up, kind of microfiche type stuff up that you can go back and read in certain situations. That's always fun to go back and look at. And I think one of my writers might be trying to parallel all this together here on a future post on Steelers Depot. So maybe stay tuned for that. What were your thoughts about any of the Steelers release that will end up with the Arizona Cardinals?
I don't see it. As I've said, I don't think Hines Ward gets a contract. I think Kemoatu does. But I don't know why he's any more likely to be at Arizona. I mean, I get the connections with the coaching staff. But, at this point, they've been gone long enough that at this point in his career, I think teams will make their best fit. I think you've seen the guys who are going to go. The fact that McFadden didn't really work out very well for them, probably they've got to distance themselves now and say, look, we'll look at everybody equally, and now it's just the odds are 1 in 32 as opposed to maybe, 1 in 10 prior.
I think Kemoatu could possibly end up over there. I think maybe James Ferrier as a backup could end up over there. We discussed the Hines Ward situation last time, so I don't think he's going to end up over there. But I could definitely see Kemoatu or Ferrier showing up in a uniform over there.
Well, I mean, you could see him showing up in any uniform, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, well, hey, Kemoatu, Ed Bouchette already reported, we don't know how much of this is agent speak, that a couple, two, three teams have already expressed interest. But, I mean, the thing is, I don't know. Hey, Peyton Manning, if he ends up over at the Cardinals, he gets the ball out of his hand quick enough. Kemoatu might not be – you know, might not actually be a bad fit over there. So, yeah, I mean, I can see both Ferrier and Kimoto in several uniforms, and it would not surprise me to see the Cardinals be one of them.
Fair enough. Dave, I've commented that, you know, the Steelers have a few dollars. When they get through this free agency period, the guy who's the priority for me, as I've said repeatedly, is Jericho Cotchery. But I would not be surprised if they looked to get a guy like Kieron Fox or somebody that they could get cheap for some inside linebacker depth coming into camp with the cutting of Ferrier. If they can get a guy for $1 million who can be a special teams guy. Again, we're not talking about guys who are going to really impact the roster. Maybe at the end of the day, they don't even make the 53-man roster, but we've seen that they've done this. Mueldy Moore, Arnez Battle, Ferrier was a huge impact guy. Ryan Clark is a big impact guy. Kieron Fox, the safety. I'm drawing a blank on the special teams guy.
Say again?
The safety that the safety we signed in Will Allen.
Oh, so, Will Allen, yeah.
That's, you know, that's seven guys, two of whom are starters and big impact guys. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Steelers look at the linebacking. And having heard Kevin Colbert say that there's some value in free agency this year, leads me to believe that, you know, you might see the Steelers do something.
I think, yeah, well, the lower tier, they're always good for two to three of those kind of lower tier type guys. So,
yeah, value guys. I would call them value guys.
Yeah.
You get them for $1 million or $1.5 million. Mueldy Moore turned out to be, a very good 3-year signing.
Yeah, well, and Arnez Battle was a purpose type signing with him. So, I mean, it's not going to be anything where we break our necks to try to get the post up on it. But every. And hey, what about James Ferrier was one of the best free agent ads for the Steelers years and years ago. After the Jets washed their hands of him, of course, he was a former first round draft pick that had played inside and outside. They definitely saw the value there, got him on the cheap. That was a great ad inside. Maybe there's an inside guy running around right now that they might have their eyes on to add. Maybe there's a kind of a lower rung type of space eater type nose tackle they could get by with for a year if they're not thinking that this is a year absolutely that they need to add a nose tackle through the draft. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a name that's going to set the earth on fire. But, hey, Kevin Colbert, they do their homework when it comes to these type guys. And if there's bargains, if the bargains to be had there and it's a fit in the locker room, absolutely.
I just found it interesting that Kevin Colbert said he saw some value in free agency, because I don't know that I've ever heard him speak so directly to that before. So makes me, interested to see if there's talk about who's coming in to visit the Steelers and where their interest might be.
I've heard him throw it out before. I've heard him kind of say that I don't know, trying to go back that many years in my head, he kind of prefaced it sometimes that we're not going to be overly active, but, we're going to be looking and all out there. And let's not fool ourselves. Initially here, the salary cap's going to be somewhat of a limitation, at least through the first couple of weeks until they find out what happens with Wallace and a few of their other guys that are unrestricted. I know they want to get William Gay back. I know they want to Leftwich and Batch back. They're notorious for signing their own free agents, and that's going to happen yet again. So it's not going to happen early, but I don't think this is the first time that he's publicly said that we might sign somebody.
All right. Anything else that jumps out at you, Dave?
Pro days are going on, of course, and we try to pick a bits and pieces of these things up as we get them coming in on Twitter through the major media and all. Kevin Colbert was represented at the Steelers personnel over there at the Alabama Pro Day, and of course Dante Hightower was one of the bigger names on display there. I'm starting to wonder about this guy, David, because there's mixed by the so-called experts, and I do a lot of film work on these guys myself too, but a lot of them are saying maybe this guy is not a three down linebacker. Who was it? Tony Pauline, the guy from SI, he stated that. But then you flip around over to the other side and you hear Mike Mayock say, yeah, this, in fact, this guy is ascending up the draft board, he says. This is a guy that his weight's going to be a little bit of a concern. This is a guy that I think his three-cone or 20-yard shuttle time was the same as his 40-yard time, which is, you know, not normally good as far as agility goes. Of course, you can't read too much into these times overall, but it's just one thing to point to. I'm kind of wondering, being the lack of presence at the pro day, how much we should read into that, you know, with Keith Butler evidently not being there. Now, we don't know that for sure, but that's one thing I think that popped out at me this week. You turn around, and yesterday was the Miami, Florida pro day, and gee, Minetti, it's like who didn't come with him to the Miami pro day, because you had Kevin Colbert there, you had Mike Tomlin there, you had Todd Haley there, you had Keith Butler there, you had Scotty Montgomery there, and you had a couple other scouts as well too. Now, of course, one of the names you know, we keep an eye on in that, of course, is Brandon Washington, the guard there, and, you know, maybe possibly Lamar Miller, the running back, tight end Chase Ford in the middle round, someone to keep your eye on as far as defense goes for guys they might have had their eyes on with Butler being there. Sean Spence, their linebacker, he did not lift once again because he's reportedly, I guess, still recovering from a deep bone bruise that he suffered in his left shoulder during the Senior Bowl. He says he can normally do 19 reps, and I think he only did 12 or 13 at the combine. I don't remember. And so, you know, he's a guy that I think went through some of his drills yesterday that they probably had their eye on. And, of course, today is the Ohio State pro day, and Dick LeBeau and Mike Tomlin, we know for a fact, are there watching that. Those guys go through their drills as well too. And one thing that kind of jumped out at me, Fletcher Cox, the Mississippi State pro day was yesterday, and evidently John Mitchell was present for that. Now, Fletcher Cox, he's going to project as a five technique defensive end, in my opinion, from what I've seen. So this is a first round talent. If he falls, you have to wonder if the Steelers would go with the best player available type mentality there. Maybe Fletcher Cox, another defensive end in the fold in the first round.
Yeah, I have seen his name mentioned a few times. Interesting to see, and we'll get some more information on that. Obviously, you made a very good point about the free agency stuff. If a guy like the kid, and I don't actually know exactly how to pronounce his last name, but the nose tackle, Paul.
Paul Solari?
Solari
from Miami?
Yeah, the Dolphins, who's going to be a free agent. You know, if there's a guy like that the Steelers bring in, obviously, you know, you change your focus dramatically of what you're going to do here in the first round. I also was surprised that I saw Todd McShay say that, you know, corner is a need. I want to be on record as saying a corner is not a need right now. In fact, it has gone from weakness to strength if all reports about what the Steelers think of their two young kids, Curtis Brown and Cortez Allen, are to be believed. They're four deep with Keenan Lewis, and if they bring William Gay back, they're five deep. All those guys are going to make the roster if Gay is signed. So I'll be surprised if the Steelers look corner in the first five rounds, maybe even at all. I would not put that as a position of need, as I've said before.
Yeah, and I think you touched on this before, too. These guys try, you know, the quote-unquote draft experts are trying to monitor 32 teams around the league. And I'm with you. I mean, Cortez Allen, but, you know, this guy really looks like he can be the real deal. Keenan Lewis, he's going to be back. They're going to tender him on an original round tender, so he's going to be back. Of course, you have Ike Taylor over there. Curtis Brown, this is a guy that projected probably to be more of a nickel type inside guy going forward there. You mentioned William Gay. If they get him back, there's just no room at the end, especially for an early round pick. And I'm with you. I mean, maybe a fifth, sixth round guy, maybe, you know, someone maybe that you know you can get slid to the practice squad to develop or something like that. But I'm with you. I don't see it as a need. Paul Solari. Yeah, I have a problem with his last name too. Solari. Anyway, American Samoa out of Utah, 355 pounds, still has age on his size too. 28 years of age. I think measured in 6'4". Hey, that that might not be a bad call at all, David. You know, depending on what his asking price is, I don't know much about his character and all like that. But you know, American Samoa, I hate to generalize here, and then
don't do it.
You know, but these guys are usually good natured. You know, they usually have a mean streak to them, which is always good. So,
well, I mean, the thing is, Dave, there are a couple guys out there. There's Antonio Garay from the Chargers. There's Sean Rogers, who, you know, I wouldn't think Sean Rogers is probably a good fit in the locker room, maybe. But you've got a couple other guys who are out there who are maybe a little bit older and would be a guy maybe looking, you know, willing to take a one-year deal or a two-year deal that you could pair with Casey. And maybe if you decide you have cap issues, you can make a decision that you move away from Casey if you can sign one of these guys on a 2-year $6 million deal, and then you can look in the draft either this year or next. So it'll, you know, just we're throwing out names. Maybe we'll get Matt Williamson on here next week to talk about some of these names specifically. He's got a good list up on ESPN.com of the top 50 free agents.
Yeah, and those are some interesting names, and that will be one to watch there. And, you know, maybe we'll do a write-up on him. But I agree. We'll get Matt Williamson back on and kind of talk to him about some of these names. But that is definitely a name that I've had circled as well, too. And, hey, it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, Dave, I think let's wrap this up. We're going to come back Tuesday, and we'll get into these free agent names a little bit more. We'll talk some more about some of the draft day workouts. And then Friday, you know, the shit's going to hit the fan, and stuff is going to happen, and it's going to happen fast. We've seen, you know, we saw the Jets go to Bart Scott's door and at 12:01 knock on his door, say they're outside and, you know, get that deal done a few years ago. A lot of interesting guys on the market. One thing to keep in mind as Steeler fans is everybody has cap issues. Everybody has personnel issues. This is why I'm not at all worried about any of the Steelers' other RFAs being tendered contracts. There are a lot of guys out there on the market who, you know, you don't have to give up something to get. And so we'll see these names, and we'll get into them a little more. And then as they move forward and teams fill holes, then obviously their draft needs are going to kind of clear up, and we'll have a better idea of maybe where the Steelers are going to go. But make sure you're following SteelersDepot.com. You can follow Dave at Steelers Depot, as I'm sure you already do. You can follow me at Hammer Speaks. David, you want to take us out?
Yeah, at Terrible Podcast for the show as well. You can email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. Like to thank all of our contributors as well, too. Got a lot of great writers doing some good stuff. Kian Fahey been writing for me. I don't want to miss a few here real quick here. Jeremy Ritz has been writing a lot of stuff for me as well. Chris DiMarino also been writing some stuff for me as well. So we appreciate all the stuff those guys do. Christina Rivers, she writes some good stuff. I want to just make sure I shout those guys out. Nick Ricchetta does a lot of work for me. Alan Gifford does a lot of work for me as well. So tune in Tuesday. Should be a good show as we lead up to the start of free agency. And once again, I believe David's final prediction is that no new deal from Mike Wallace hits free agency, does not get an offer, is back with the Steelers. I'm going to still go on record. I think that they maybe over the next few days they get a deal done, David.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.